Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Renee. So let me, I'm going to try to get my PowerPoint up. Slideshow. Start. All right, hold on. Well, I don't know where everybody is. I need some help.
Renee,
I need some help. but I want to see people too. When I push, when I
want it off.
So I'm gonna put stop share. Is that right?
Do. Oh, there. I wonder why it's not showing people.
Okay, let's do it again. Yeah. Right, we're gonna try again. So share screen. Here. Okay.
Oh, here. Click on that. There you go.
Okay.
And then you can scroll down and make it bigger if you want to see more people.
Okay, scroll down.
Here.
Oh, I see. Okay. I think we're ready to go. Still learning technology. I probably won't ever learn it, but I'm glad I've got some helpers.
Yeah.
Maybe not helpers, maybe doers. I'm the, yeah. Well, today we're going to be talking about, can't nobody pray like a mom? Mm. Can't nobody pray like a mom? I know that's not good English, but you understand what I'm talking about. Can't nobody pray like a mom. We're going to look at a lady. Her name was actually Salome, who made a request of Jesus. We're going to kind of just take a snapshot of her. We don't know a whole lot about Salome. We know that she was the wife of Zebedee and the mother of James and John, the apostles. She was also at Jesus' crucifixion, and she was also at his, she went to the tomb to help prepare his body. Of course, he wasn't there when she got there, but that's about all we know about Salome, except this little snapshot of her. And so we find that she approached Jesus one day, says that the mother, sons of Zebedee, came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard it, the ten other disciples, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, again, we come before you, and Lord, just thank you for this opportunity of being together through Zoom. We're looking forward to the day when we can all be together again in your house, in the household of faith. Lord, it just seems like it's been a long, long, long time. Lord, I miss hugging and touching and speaking and sharing with others face to face. And so I would just pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts today. Lord, that we would be able to receive what you have for us and be able to put it into practice. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So James and John were fishermen, as well as Zebedee. Zebedee was the dad. And Zebedee owned, had a fishing business. And James and John were fishing with him. James and John were on the boat with him. One day, Jesus came into their business. And he said to James and John, "I want you to follow me." Immediately, James and John left their nets, left their dad, left their home. They followed Jesus. Now, in those days, you would think, man, that was pretty not really nice of Jesus to get Zebedee's sons away from the business. Well, in those days, if a rabbi, and of course Jesus was a rabbi, in those days, if a rabbi came and said, "I want you to follow me, I want you to be one of my disciples, I want you to be one of my followers," it was actually a great honor for the family. And so with John, with Zebedee's blessings and with Salome's blessings, John and James left the fishing business and began following Jesus. We see this snapshot of Salome coming to Jesus. One of the things we find out about Salome is that she was a dedicated follower of Jesus. I mean, from the moment Jesus chose her two sons, she was all in. Mm-hmm. And wherever Jesus went, that's where Salome went. You find in Scripture that there were not only the 12 apostles, disciples that followed Jesus, but there were many women who followed Jesus as well. And Salome was one of them. So when she comes to Jesus, one of the things we recognize that Salome knew that Jesus was the Messiah. She knew he was Messiah. She said, "When you come into your kingdom, I want my sons to rule with you. One on the right hand, one on the left. When you come in your kingdom." So she knew he was the Messiah. She knew he was the promised one that was to come to set up kingship, not only in Jerusalem, but upon earth. She, like most of the believing Jews at that time, believers in Jesus, she did not have the time frame correct. She did not recognize it, that the first coming, that Jesus was coming as a suffering servant. At his second coming is when he was going to set up his earthly kingship, his earthly rule. But she knew, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that Jesus was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, and that one day he was going to set up his kingship. Now, when she said, "When you set up your kingship," Jesus didn't say, "Oh, no, I'm not, that's not me. You've got me mistaken for someone else." Jesus agreed with her that one day that was going to take place. When she approached Jesus, Jesus said this, "What do you want? What do you want?" And I think that's a good, if Jesus were here today, he may be asking us the same question. What do you want? What do you want? Well, this is her prayer. She said to Jesus, say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. Now that's pretty brass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fishermen, who they were.
Yeah. I mean, they were fishermen, right? It's not like they had a lot of education. It's not like they had a lot going for them. They were called sons of thunder. So evidently they had some anger issues. They were tried to, they went through this one town, I think it was Samaria, and they people weren't listening very well. I said, Jesus, just call down lightning and kill them all. Mama knew who her sons were. Mama knew that. But she said to Jesus, say that my boys are going to sit with you on the throne. Say it. Because she knew that whatever Jesus says, it's going to be truth. Okay? Whatever Jesus says, it's going to be truth and it's going to happen. Can't nobody pray like a mom. Can't nobody have a heart like a mom. Can't nobody want the best for their children like a mom. Now, there are some exceptions. I have seen some men who have that heart's desire for their kids, but usually it's the mom. Usually it's the mom. So I want us to look at her approach. The first thing she did was she humbled herself. She came to Jesus kneeling. She came to Jesus kneeling. Now, I'm sure that Salome had been thinking of this request for a while. It just didn't pop in her mind. Say, maybe I will approach Jesus about my two sons ruling and reigning with him. I'm sure it wasn't just an afterthought. I'm thinking she's thinking, what do I want my kids? What do I want best for my kids? If I could ask one request of Jesus for my kids, what would it be? So when she approached him, she humbled herself. I don't know that she talked it over with her husband. Her and her boys had this discussion because they were all in on it. But in worship, in humility, she approached him. Scripture says in James 4, 10 and 11, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. It bothers me when I hear people say that when we go before the Lord, we should demand of him what we want. That bothers me. I think it's good to remind him of Scripture. Moses did that. Others did that. But I think in prayer, when we go before the Lord, we need to humble ourselves just as Salome did as we come before the throne. She was bold. Scripture says, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Does that seem contradiction between being humble and being bold. No, it's not a contradiction. Humbleness is an attitude of the heart. It is knowing who the Father is and knowing who you are. Knowing who we are. We're knowing who Jesus is. We know who we are. But Scripture says when we come before him, we need to know what we want. And we need to boldly ask him for our requests. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So this Siloam lady, she wasn't afraid to ask for the moon. She loved her kids. She wanted what was best for her kids. And she really didn't care what others thought of her request. She could care less. Isn't it interesting that the Lord would put this snapshot in his word? She knew who to talk to about her desires for her children. She had some great desires for her children, and she knew who to talk to. She was wise. She was humble. And she was bold. Her love for her kids trumped any timidity that she may have had. Jesus, when you become king, say that my boys are going to sit by you. Say it. Also, she was selfless. This is the heart of most moms, being selfless. She did not ask anything for herself. Her approach was selfless. She didn't say, would you give me this? Her heart was for her kids. Would you let me rule with you? That's not what she said. My boys were the first and foremost in her heart. Her desires were that they succeed, not that she would succeed. You know, that's the heart of most moms. They often sacrifice their own wants, desires, and even needs so that their children can have more, so that their children can do more, so that their children can experience more. I've seen moms go without so that their kids could do with. It's almost like mom's happiness is contained in the happiness of their children. If the children ain't happy, the moms ain't happy. If mom ain't happy,
ain't nobody
happy. I'm sorry if I offended you. I was just repeating what I heard. So here's something else we find about her. First, let's go to James 4, 2 and 3. You don't have what you want because you don't ask for it or ask God for it. Even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. A lot of times when we're asking for what's going to benefit us and not what's going to benefit others. This scripture tells us that when we have selfish motives, that basically we're not going to receive what we're asking for. But when we begin to pray for others in an unselfish way, then we're more likely to have our prayers answered. She was reckless with her prayer. Why do I say that? Well, when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. She really didn't care what anybody thought of her prayer. She didn't care about the other 10 disciples and where their pecking order was. But what she did care about is where her two sons were. That was where she, what her heart was. That's what she desired, was what's best for my kids. And you notice it was mom who did this and not dad. Mm-hmm. It's possible that Salome and Zebedee had talked about it, but Zebedee was busy working. He was busy making a living. He was busy fishing. He's busy trying to, you know, support his family. He was busy doing all of these things. And oftentimes that's the way men are. We just get so wrapped up in our occupation and get so wrapped up in our work and taking care of family and taking care of other things that we're, men mostly are concerned about meeting the physical needs. Moms are often, more often interested in meeting the spiritual needs. And I think that's a great place to be. So because she wanted the needs of her spiritual, of her brother, the spiritual needs of her sons met, she was reckless with what she shared. She doesn't care about the feelings of the other disciples. They got upset. They got angry. I mean, they overheard her request. I'm sure James and John were standing there right beside her, just kind of nodding. Go, mama. Go, mama. You fighting for us. You know, mamas fight for their kids. I was listening to this Bible study just yesterday, and the lady said, I didn't know there was this bear instinct that rose up in me until I had children. It's almost like this mama bear started coming out. When somebody hurts my children, mama bear starts coming out. And I think that's where Salome was. I'm going to take care of my kids. I'm going to take care of my kids. So this is what she did. After she made her request, she waited for an answer. She waited for an answer. So often, we make our requests of the Lord. Mm-hmm. We say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. We get up from our position of prayer. We go about our business. If Salome had not waited for an answer, she would not have known what to do next. So often, we don't wait for an answer. David said this, listen, Lord, this is his prayer. Listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my request to you, and I wait expectantly. I'm waiting for an answer. Many times we pray, we wait for the Lord to fulfill our request, but we don't wait to hear his voice. We don't wait for an answer to our request. Here's, you know, I've heard people say this, that when we pray, after we make our request, then we just need to start thanking the Lord that he has met our requests. Well, I would say that's okay if he said, I'll give that to you. All right? Once we've heard that, once we've heard that he's going to meet that need or fulfill that request, then we can say, amen, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Even though it may not be physically apparent at the time, we can know it. But just to presume that God is going to answer our request was not here without hearing what he is saying about that, we may be very mistaken about the answer. Okay? Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
All right. Now, Jesus didn't say, yes, I'm going to answer this request. He didn't say no. He just said, basically, that's out of my hands. That's not mine to give. That's my Father's to give. And he also didn't berate her for making this reckless request. He didn't call her a crazy woman for making this request. He didn't chastise her. Actually, I think he was very pleased with the request. You know, there's a passage of scripture that says, you have not because you ask not. So, if you were on your knees before Jesus, and Jesus said to you, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your children? If you could ask him one or two things that was the longing of your heart, what would it be? What would it be for your children? What would it be for your grandchildren? I would suggest that we begin thinking about that maybe this week. And then kneel before the Lord and make your request. Once you make your request, stop long enough to listen to what he says. Because we could be asking selfish prayer. God's not going to always say yes. Okay. Sometimes it's because of the motive of our heart. Sometimes it's because we're asking the wrong thing. But we won't know that if we don't pause long enough to listen. So pause long enough to listen to what Father says so that you'll know how to pray rightly. You'll know how to pray rightly. When you make your request, make it in humility. Make it boldly. And even be reckless if you need to. And then listen for an answer. Jesus continues. It says, but Jesus called the disciples to him, and I'm sure Salome was there as well, after this big argument between the disciples. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you, but whoever should be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I don't know that we would have had the answer to the question if Salome hadn't asked. If Salome hadn't had the gall to approach Jesus with this reckless request, with this bold request, I don't know that we would have had the answer that Jesus says the greatest in the kingdom of heaven are those who serve best. As I'm thinking about this, Jesus said, the greatest servant will be the greatest ruler. Some of the greatest servants I know are moms. And I'm wondering if there are going to be some moms in high positions in heaven. I don't know. You may not be, I don't know how familiar you are with church history. There was an individual named Augustine who was considered a church father, who began putting together a lot of documents and theology and ideas. Well, he had not always been a Christian. Monica, his mother, prayed for years that her brilliant but undisciplined son would be saved. When she sought the counsel of her priest, he listened as she poured out her heart of love and her intercession for this prodigal. At the conclusion, the priest said, "Go on, leave me alone, live as you're living. It's not possible that a son of such tears should be lost." Monica prayed that he would not go to Rome, which was then such a wicked place. He slipped away anyway and went, and that's where he met Christ. He was in Rome. Moms, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. It's hearts like yours that can change the world. Keep praying. And then final, to conclude, Jesus is the greatest servant of all. Jesus gave his life to redeem, to ransom many. He had a heart like a mom. He looked at Jerusalem and said, how often would I have gathered you like a hen gathers her chicks under my wings, but you would not. He was weeping over Jerusalem. Sometimes, moms, the Lord's listening to your tears. Jesus gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. And Scripture teaches us that if we turn from our sins and receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, then we can be a part of his forever family. And if you're listening today and don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to submit your life to him. Get on your knees. Humble yourself before him. Boldly go before the throne of grace and receive grace and mercy. Receive forgiveness for your sins and place your faith in Jesus Christ. If you choose to do that, basically it's just talking to the Lord and telling him what you want. Just like Salome did, telling Jesus what she wanted. If you do that, Scripture says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Moms, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. God bless you. Thank you for being a part of Life Change. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for Salome willing to ask this question. Lord, sometimes these difficult questions bring about answers that we need to hear, though we may not have a request. Lord, it opens up a whole new area of knowledge for us, and we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Lord, I want to pray for those today who are struggling with giving their life to Christ. Just ask that you would help them. Lord, look at the tears of the moms. Hear their cries. Look at the tears of dads. Hear their cries. Lord, bring the prodigals back to you.
Yes.
And we ask these things in the precious and holy and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, Pastor Brad. Bye. Thank you, Pastor Brad.
Thank you, Pastor. Bye.
Hope you have a great and marvelous day.
You too.
You as well.
All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
All right.
Love you.
Love you too.
Thank you.
Thanks. Now at the end, I got it.
Bye, Gabby.